Good morning, Horizon. Hey, it's great to be with you today. Thanks, Ed, for those wonderful songs. Love the verse in that song, I could sing of your love forever and your river runs with love for me. Wow, what a great reminder. Turn with me, if you will, to Ezekiel chapter 47, and we're going to read about that river. But before we read together, let's start with a word of prayer. Lord, we want to have everything that you want for us, that you came to give us. Help us, Lord, to walk with your Holy Spirit into the depths of abundant life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, before we read from Ezekiel, I want to ask you a question this morning. That question is, why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus come? If you say that he came to give us life, you'd be right. Jesus told us in John 10:10, the purpose of his coming was, he said, I have come that they may have life. And then he said in something more, he said, and that they may have it more abundantly. The Amplified Bible adds meaning to the word abundance and says it's to the full. It's till it overflows. That's what Jesus came to give us, life that's overflowing with more. All right, think about this for a moment. Jesus' purpose was to give us life, yes. And he wanted us to have this something that's more, right? He wanted us to have life more abundantly. I want us to think this morning about what abundance might mean. We'll start with the dictionary definition. It's always a fair place to start, right? The word abundantly comes from a Latin root, abundare, which means to overflow. Literally, it means to rise in waves as in water. So when you see the word abundant, if you think buoyant or you think rising above, you're on the right track. The Greek word that was used in this verse in John 10:10 is parisos, which can mean exceedingly above, as in Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, all right? But it also means more, as in Mark 12:33, it says, and to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than, parisos, is more than all the whole of burnt offerings and sacrifices, right? So what Jesus is saying when he said, talking about the purpose of his coming, is that he wants us to have life that overflows with faith and hope and love, that rises above as waves rise in water, and he wants us to have even more, right? The more, is to move beyond where we currently find ourselves. We're called, like Paul, to keep pressing on toward the prize before us. In Philippians 3, 13 and 14, Paul says, but I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Ezekiel tells us about a vision he had that sounds to me a little bit like these definitions of abundance, about overflowing, about rising above, and about pressing on for more. So if you're in Ezekiel 47, we're going to read the first 9 verses. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. For the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around the outside to the outer gateway that faces east, and there was water running out on the right side. And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The water came up to my ankles. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The water came up to my knees. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The water came up to my waist. Again he measured 1,000, and it was a river I could not cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. He said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. When I returned, there along the bank of the river were very many trees, on one side and the other. Then he said to me, this water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters, the sea's waters, are healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there, for they will be healed and everything will live wherever the river goes. I love this passage. It's a passage in which the prophet Ezekiel describes being guided to a temple with water flowing out of the sanctuary, pouring out over the threshold and down the steps. this guide takes the prophet out the gate of the temple and then down the stream a distance of 1,000 cubits. A cubit, we know, I remember we were told this on Wednesday night a couple months ago, but a cubit is a distance from a man's elbow to the tip of his finger, of his fingers. It's about 18 inches, right? So 1,000 cubits is 1,500 feet. That's a little bit more than a quarter mile. So they've waded down this stream a quarter mile. And at this point, the water is ankle deep. The prophet, he's wading in the stream and he takes note of this. They've gone 1,000 cubits. The water is up to my ankles. He records that. They follow the stream another 1,000 cubits, another quarter of a mile. And now the water is knee deep. It's up to his knees. It's getting deeper. And they go another 1,000 cubits, another quarter mile, and it takes them to water that's too deep. They take it to water that's up to the prophet's waist or torso. And another 1,000 cubits takes them to water that's too deep to wade through. And the prophet must swim. And it's at this point that the guide asks the prophet, "Son of man, have you seen this?" The guide then takes the prophet back to the riverbank where there are many trees on both sides of the river. I think here of Psalm 1, where we're called to be like trees planted by the rivers of water that bring forth fruit in its season. And the guide explains that the river brings healing and life for everything it touches. This is a description of life overflowing with abundance. And although this passage primarily refers to the restoration of Israel, I believe it also represents an illustration of the Spirit-led life for one who is baptized in the living water of Jesus Christ. I think this passage may suggest that there is available to us a progression to a deeper spiritual life of growing faith that leads ever more fully, ever more surely, into the spiritual depths and riches of the kingdom of God. And this just might represent that more abundant life that Jesus came to give us. Let's talk a little bit about what the meaning of this passage in Ezekiel might be. The temple and the living fountain in the sanctuary speak to the infinite resources of grace in Jesus Christ. So the water that's flowing up out of this, out of the sanctuary in this temple, the grace of God made available to us in Jesus Christ. And I believe the guide to the prophet in this passage refers to the Holy Spirit, whom God has provided to every believer. The Holy Spirit opens the Word to us and enables us to understand the will of God. The Holy Spirit is described as a guide. Jesus tells us in John 16, 13, "However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth." So just as the prophet Ezekiel followed his divine guide, may we follow the Holy Spirit as He leads us in the way that we should go. He has the measuring line in His hand. He leads us. He makes Jesus real to us. He takes us deeper and deeper into this journey of faith. Ezekiel goes on to explain the ever-deepening waters. And how is it that the waters get deeper, right? How can the water get deeper as it flows? The passage mentions no other tributaries. The only source described is the water that flows from the temple sanctuary. So how does this water grow from a trickle down the steps to an ankle-deep stream, to a knee-deep creek, to a waist-deep branch, to a river that cannot be waded? This is no ordinary water. To grow and increase like this, this water must have life. This must be living water. What can this mean to us in our spiritual lives? I appreciate the thoughts of Joseph Ramsayer, who wrote about this passage in Ezekiel. Joseph Ramsayer was one of the founders of the missionary church, and he wrote a book called Dwell Deep. And in it, he describes that the stepping into the stream when it's ankle deep, he said, it represents stepping with both feet and standing on the promises of God, standing on the word of God. The prophet was in the water with both feet, moving down the stream with both feet, taking steps, taking a walk of faith, following his guide, but standing on faith, standing on the promises of God. He said, and then Ezekiel was led to waters up to his knees. Joseph Ramsayer suggests that knee-deep water represents the deeper waters of prayer, of being on our knees before him, of fellowship with God as we learn to trust him and build a relationship with him. All the great examples of faith, think of Hebrews 11 here, all the great examples of faith were people of prayer. Abraham pleading for the righteous in Sodom and Gomorrah before Lot was delivered. Moses interceding for the Hebrews when they rebelled. Elijah, who by earnest prayer saw the heavens closed and then reopened. Daniel, who wielded the mighty force of prayer throughout his life. Friend, have you gotten into this stream of the waters of life? Have you gotten into it up to your knees? Can you be described as a person of prayer? That's a goal for us, right? The heavenly guide then leads in this living stream to a depth that's up to the waist or torso, representing the vital organs or wholehearted commitment and service to our Lord. When our hearts are fully devoted to the Lord and to the things that he loves. Jesus said in John 13:34, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. The new commandment was not just to love. He'd already told us to love. But he said, love as I have loved you. This is agape love, right? This is the self-sacrificial love that Jesus demonstrated to us. How much love is that? John 15:13 says, greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. So standing in the living water that's up to our hearts, up to our torsos, is having the heart of Jesus to love others with sacrificial, God-like love. But that's not all. Next, the guide takes the prophet into waters that are too deep to stand. No longer can we rely on the things of this earth that we can touch. Here's the depth of God's exceedingly abundant fullness. Are we still trying to touch bottom? Are we still clinging to the things of this world? We need to let go of the world and immerse ourselves fully in God's abundant provision of grace and love, trusting him who is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think. This is the abundant life. This is water that leads to life and healing. This is the journey on which we find ourselves, a journey that leads us toward a very real, abundant life. I think that what Ezekiel envisioned was the same river of life that John described in Revelation 22, where he said, and he showed me, John says this, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Son of man, have you seen this? The guide asked Ezekiel. Have you considered this? Have you experienced this? I don't know about you, but I want to see and experience this. Like Paul, I don't claim to have arrived at the destination, but I definitely want to be pressing on, moving intentionally in this direction. Doesn't this sound like a more abundant life? I want to be on a journey of faith that gets deeper and deeper, don't you? From the vision of Ezekiel, it sounds like there's a journey that we can take, steps we can follow to experience greater depths and more abundance. I want to see and experience the more abundant life. Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, he describes a process of spiritual steps that we can take toward a life of abounding fruitfulness, right? But also for this very reason, he says, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just as the prophet had to walk in ever-deepening waters, we must take intentional steps of faith toward Christ-like agape love. Are we walking in an ever-deepening faith? Are we growing more and more like Christ? As we start to reassemble in our community, will we have grown during this time of self-distancing? Faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and agape love. Will these qualities be seen in us? Peter tells us if these things are yours and abound, that we'll be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's my prayer today. Lord, make that true for us. Help us to walk in ever-deepening faith. Help us to love sacrificially. Help us to live life more abundantly. Because when we do, we rise above. We rise above our circumstances. We rise above our problems. We rise above the challenges that we face. And that was the purpose for which you came. So it's in your name that we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hey, take care, everybody. God bless you. Let's live life abundantly.